See, at this point, I'm always a little jealous of the kids. They get to be spared of this. So today we're talking about a new thing, because there's been a lot of new things that have happened in our society through the past 2 years. And for you guys, this is a new venture. This is a new thing for you. And I don't think this church has ever really done a candidating weekend. Like, this is a new thing for just about anybody in this church, I think. And so that's what they've been telling me anyway. And so it's just a new thing. And I think that I want to share with you a passage of scripture in the book of Philippians, chapter 3. It's my favorite passage in the whole wide world. And it has been since I was 16 years old. And I just love this passage. So I'm going to share it with you. And hopefully the Spirit of God will speak to us through this at some point. So every once in a while, I learn something new. And a lot of times when I learn something new, see my family, they're researchers. And so I learn something new and they're like, yeah, I knew that. And it's not their way of discouraging me. It's just their way of saying, yeah, welcome to the party. So I learned this new concept called kintsugi. Has anyone ever heard of kintsugi? Kintsugi is really? Oh, okay, I'm not the only one. All right, we're all going to learn something today. I think there's a few, at least three hands that should have gone up in the back, because they told me they knew about it. Anyway, so kintsugi is this thing where it's this artistry where you take a piece of pottery, a beautiful piece of pottery, and you throw it on the ground and break it, right? Okay, that's the beginning. But then what happens with the kintsugi method, what you do is you glue it back together. And then each crack you line with gold. And so you have this piece that was really nice, and you crash it and you smash it and you break it. And then what you do is you put it back together, and then you line the crack with gold, and you bring all the attention to the cracks and the brokenness of this piece. And what you have is this beautiful piece of pottery that has a tremendous amount of value because it's laced with gold. And you're thinking, well, how pretty could that be? And I wish I could. I couldn't find a really good picture to put up for you for PowerPoint. So you just have to Google it. You can do that. You could probably even do that right now. There's probably a few that are. Anyway, so kintsugi is this method. And you know, I kind of wondered, man, that's a new thing, isn't it? That's a new thing. When you have this broken piece of pottery and you make it into this beautiful gold-lined pottery, what you have is a completely new thing, and it has a completely new lease on life, and it's better than it was before. And I couldn't help but wonder, I couldn't help but think that God wants to do that new thing with us as the church. God wants to do that new thing with us as individuals within the church. And that's what inspires me, friends, is that God is doing a new thing around us. Now, life for the Christian church and life for Christians and life in general has been a little bit hard in the last 2 years. This last 2 years, can anyone say that these last 2 years have been the best years of your life? Where you got to see the world, where you got to do all kinds of educational things, and you got to do all the things that you wanted to do? No, the last 2 years have been hard, haven't they? Because we've had this whole thing called like a pandemic, word that we never really thought of before, and how there was this movie that came out called Contagion, right? And we thought, oh man, that would really be bad, and that I hope that never happens. Well, look, it came true, didn't it? It wasn't quite how it panned out, but for some. And we've all experienced these losses within our lives. It could be a loss of employment, a loss of a job, a loss of security. It could have been a loss of a loved one, a loss of relationships. There were so many things that happened because with all of that, we had the pandemic, and then we had racial tensions, and we had all these other things that we had to face our own convictions and our own biases. And there were so many challenges that we had, and there were culture wars that happened. And a lot of this happened, and it was fed by social media, and there were so many changes that happened. There were shifts in the views of human sexuality. There was deconstructionism happening everywhere. People are questioning what they believe and why they believe it. And we realized as the church that we had not necessarily effectively developed resilient disciples enough to be able to withstand all of these things and to help people where they don't have to go down this whole path of deconstructionism. But we've been deconstructing, and we've been building a solid foundation on our faith and in our young people and all the people of our church. And we've had this challenge where we're like, no, we didn't do it the right way. And then we watch our church attendance go down. And we realize, oh man, what's happening? happening? And then all the restrictions, well, we couldn't even meet. That was like the first time in our lifetime where we couldn't even gather, could we? I think the last time I preached to Grace Point was at the very beginning of the pandemic where we couldn't meet. And I preached to Gaylene. Yeah. Gaylene, she was like bobbing her head. I could only see from here up. She was hiding behind the camera and I could hear her go like this. And it was this thing where I had to preach to an empty room. And then I took on the role of cameras. I had to preach to a camera and figure out what that looks like. And I'm basically preaching to myself, which was quite convicting, by the way. I have to do what I'm, yeah, because I didn't even know if anybody was going to watch it. And then you put all your heart and soul into this and like 4 views, 5 views, right? People are doing other stuff. They're watching better preachers who have better stuff to go, like better equipment and everything. And then we had this whole thing of political unrest that we watched unfold throughout our world. It wasn't just the U.S. It was all over the place, wasn't it? And there were so all these uncertainties that we've been faced with over the last 2 years that have become glaringly obvious. And then war, right? War. Who would have thought that would happen after all of this? Now we've got a war that's going on. And then this week, our hearts were broken again because of the gun violence that happens and the shootings. And we're like, what? What is going on? There is so much brokenness within our world. So much damage, so much struggle. We think, God, what is going on? Why are you allowing all these things to happen? And I just don't get it. And it's like 2 years ago, we thought we had it all, didn't we? Life was pretty stable. Life was pretty good, wasn't it? And then all of these things sort of unravel and they're broken. And it's right in front of us. We can't ignore it. And then we're reminded by a method like Kintsugi, where as God takes the brokenness of us and of the church and of all the institutions that we thought were stable and would stand the test of time and what we knew was beautiful, but he wants to make this new beautiful thing. And what is the new beautiful thing that God wants to make in you and through you? Because that's what it comes down to, doesn't it? God, after all the brokenness, And the change, we may never get to that stability that we used to have. But that's okay because there's other beauty than stability, isn't there? Beauty does not assume stability. Beauty is just beauty. And what is the beautiful thing that God wants to do through you? What is the beautiful thing that God wants to do through Grace Point Church? So Philippians 3, it's a great passage. And early on in this chapter, Paul... You guys probably know who Paul is. He was one of the apostles. And Paul was this man who was born. He had great citizenship. He was born a Roman citizen as well as he was Jewish. And so he kind of had it all in that society and in that situation and in that culture. He was born into the right family. And then he was educated. He was well, like this guy was sharp. And we know it because he wrote a lot of the New Testament and he gave us a lot of amazing teachings, didn't he? He was very articulate. He was a very good person who could argue you into the kingdom of God. And he could stand up for Jesus and he could stand up for all the things. But you know what? With Paul, when he met Jesus, all that came crumbling down. And he says that all of the things that I was able to accomplish, all of the things that I was born into, the privilege that I had within life, is complete garbage. It's garbage. And you know why it was garbage? Because he realized none of it was important compared to Jesus. He was broken into pieces after he met Jesus by persecution. He'd endured lashes and punishments because of his faith in Jesus. He was broken into pieces by persecution, by conviction. When he met Jesus, everything came crumbling down and he recognized everything that I can accomplish, everything that I can do is absolute rubbish and garbage and it means nothing but for the sake of Jesus. And so here's his challenge to us beginning at verse 12. He says this, not that I have already obtained all this. He hasn't figured it all out yet or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on. I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. And I think it's important for us to ask in our lives, what are your goals? What are my goals? What are your goals that you have in your life? Is your goal to have a better job or maybe to get a job? Is your goal to have a better car, a nicer boat, or to have a boat? to have a nicer house. And we can have these goals. And these goals are not bad in themselves, but there's a greater goal that God has called us to and heavenward in Christ Jesus. And what are the goals that God has called you into? Well, God has called you into the goal of having a deep relationship with God, a deep relationship with Jesus. He's called you into the goals of the Great Commission, the Great Commandment. He's called you to develop healthy relationships with other people. And His goal is to invite you into living in His Spirit. Friends, those are the goals that are laid out for us. Those are the goals that God has given us in Christ Jesus. And we need to ask ourselves, too, what are the goals of the church? What goals do you have for your church? You're here because you're part of this church, or you're just curious about this guy who's going to speak. I don't know. I'm sorry if that's why you came. But what are your goals for the church? Because we all have a little bit of goal for the church. Well, I'd like to see more people come. It's good. I'd like to see, you know, packed out services. I'd like to see the music that we have, which is awesome, by the way. You guys did an awesome job at leading us in worship. It's not just about, like, quality music, but you guys were worshiping and brought us into that. I love that. That's amazing. That doesn't happen in every church, by the way. But our worship team has led us in a beautiful way. But is it the fancy music? Do we want more show? Do we want fancier lights and maybe some strobe lights to inspire us? Do we want, you know, a more polished preacher, right? Who wears a nice shirt or wears a suit? Maybe that's what you want. I wore a white shirt today. That was a big risk for me. I drink a lot of coffee, and there is a 1 meter radius around me that is always at risk when I drink coffee that is going to get a stain. No stains that I know of, right? Although I was invited to eat a cinnamon bun with the youth, which I wanted to do, but I'm like, no, I've already taken some risks. I actually get coffee on my nose once in a while. How that happens, I don't know. Anyway, but what do we want? What are the goals that we have for the church? Or are there quality programs? Do we want like the best programs that there are out there for our kids, for our youth, for our adults? Is that a goal? None of these are bad goals, are they? They're not bad goals. But what are the goals laid out for the church? The goals that Jesus gives us as a church? Well, first of all, He's not interested in a lot of those things. He celebrates them with you. But they're not the most important thing. The most important thing is a relationship with God. He wants us as a faith community to have a relationship with Him. He wants us to fulfill the great commission that Jesus Christ gave us to make more disciples wherever we are and to figure out what that means. He wants us to fulfill His great commandment to love each other, to love God, but to love each other and be that expression of love towards each other. He wants us to live in healthy relationships with other people. And to bring reconciliation, to journey through conflict instead of avoiding it, or to not fight unfairly when there is conflict. That's what God wants for us, to live in healthy relationships. And of course, He wants us, and these are not in order of priority necessarily, but He wants us to be living in the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God that next week is this day of Pentecost where we celebrate the Holy Spirit coming down on all the believers. And it was wild and it was crazy and it was fantastic and it was out of control, but it was powerful. Beautiful, because that same Spirit that came down on the day of Pentecost is the same Spirit that lives in us when we surrender our lives to Jesus. So those are the goals for the church that God has given us. Now Paul goes on to say, brothers and sisters, I don't consider myself to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead. Now this sometimes gets a little confusing, doesn't it? It's like, I'm supposed to forget everything? The good, the bad, the ugly? No. But see, sometimes we get set in our ways, don't we? I know for me, I get set in my ways. I really get set in my ways. And I'm a little stubborn at times. But I've been doing a lot of research about the human brain. That's just one of my curious things. I've been doing some research on the human brain and how there is this concept called neuroplasticity. Have you heard of that? Neuroplasticity. So that means that the brain can adjust. The brain can develop new neurons, and it has it's not necessarily like a string. It's more like a rubber band where it can grow and it can change over time. So the brain's ability to modify, change, and adapt both structure and function throughout life in response to experiences that we're going through. That's the definition of neuroplasticity. Now, here's the thing about the adult brain. Like, it's amazing, the adult brain. So here are some stats. Some fun facts about the adult brain. So, adult brain weighs about 3 pounds. So 3 pounds of your body weight is in your head, in your brain. About 75% of the brain is made up of water. So stay hydrated because it's important. It will affect your brain. I have a T-shirt. Hydration is a big part of me. I have a T-shirt that says drink more water. You're probably dehydrated. I didn't buy the T-shirt. It was bought for me because I talk about water a lot. It's very important. There are 100 billion billion. Okay, you can't even count how many neurons, nerve cells, are in the brain. They make up only 10% of the brain. So 100 billion neurons, 10% of the brain. You think about that. That's pretty amazing, isn't it? This is God's creation at work. The neurons branch out into 100 trillion plus. Okay, I don't even know how they counted 100 trillion, but then they said plus, just in case there was more, right? And those are trigger points from where what experts call a neuron forest. So there's a forest, a neuron forest in your brain that's continually always firing off energy and thoughts and processes. Like, this is amazing stuff, isn't it? And then there are 100,000 miles, so that's 160,934.4 kilometers of blood vessels in the brain. That's just blood vessels. That's just to get the proper oxygen into your brain, the blood vessels. And that, so that's the distance around the world at the equator. That distance is 24,900 miles, 40,072.67 kilometers. 4 times around the world are just the blood vessels that are in your brain. We go around the world 4 times. I think is it four? That's about 4 times. 4.019, something like that. I'm not that nerdy, honestly. I just made that up. But the fact of the matter is, our brain is this complex system that is so amazing that I can't even believe it works. And that with all that system, I'm actually able to walk around here. I can't sit still, by the way. But I'm able to walk up here, and you're able to listen, and we're able to process all of these things that are happening and make judgments and make analysis and make all of these things, just because all of these billions and trillions of things are firing at the same time in each and every one of us. Wow. That's the gift that science gives us, understanding how we're created, isn't it? That's amazing. And we say in our lives that change is hard. Change is hard. And with this neuroplasticity, that we say that change is hard, and yet change is possible, isn't it? Change is possible because our brain will adjust to that change. Our brain will adjust to the existence and the reality that we live in. And the question is, how are we working? See, the thing is that we can work at it. If you want to make better decisions in your life, figure out how to make better decisions in your life. If you want to adapt to the change that there is around you, figure out how to adapt to the change around you, because your brain can do it. And God will help you in it. And I did a little bit of research. You know that saying, can't teach an old dog new tricks? That's not even true for dogs. And we're not dogs. We have rational thought. By instinct, you can teach an old dog, no matter how old that dog is. I mean, you can't teach an old dog who can't walk to walk, right? But you can teach an old dog new tricks. And I have a dog. She's a beautiful dog. She's a black lab Doberman cross. And that means she has all kinds of unconditional love, which I have a high need for unconditional love. And so she provides me what I need. And I feed her so she has what she needs. And she's horribly trained. Like, she'll jump up on you. Like, she loves you. She hates dogs. But the thing is, I always think, you know, I'll train her someday. I'll train her someday. But you can teach an old dog new tricks. You can learn new things. No matter how old you are in life, learning, living is a process of learning. And we're always learning. We're always adapting. We're always changing to these new things. And sometimes we're like, it's less about the fact of whether we can change. It's our resistance to change that is usually the issue, isn't it? If you don't want to change, you might not. But the fact of the matter is, things are going to continually change around whether you like it or not. So we need to learn new things within our lives continually, all the time, learning new things. But then Paul talks about forgetting. So we need to be learning, but we also need to be forgetting certain things. Now, that doesn't mean that we don't honor the past. We need to honor the past of where we've come from and what we've accomplished and what we've done. but not to live in those things. And so there's a leaving behind of some of those accomplishments that we've had. And I think that each time we go through a change, we need to remember and cherish that change to say, oh, wow, remember when we had to go through this? And then we made these choices and we've come this far. And those are some things that we need. So we don't totally just diminish the past. But there is a valuing that we need to value what we've learned. But we also need to be moving forward, not backwards. We need to be continually moving forward, not backwards. And part of this is kind of this this unlearning. There's a lot of unlearning we've had to do in the last 2 years, isn't there? A lot of unlearning. We need to unlearn how to go out in public and always have this thing in the back of our mind. Am I going to be at risk, right, of getting COVID or something like that? There's a lot of unlearning that we've had to be able to do to adapt to how all the cultural changes, and some of them great and some of them not as great, right? But we've had to adapt to all of these challenges around us. And there's this unlearning that everything is challenged. It's like, oh, no, we can't meet on Sunday morning. What does that mean? What am I supposed to do on Sunday morning? Some of us got to celebrate because it's like, well, I can sit at home in my pajamas and watch church. And if you're here, you've gotten beyond that. Some people haven't been able to feel comfortable enough to come back. And that's okay. Welcome online, by the way. I don't know where the camera is. Thanks, guys. We have some viewers online. And it's awesome. We're glad that you joined us. And that's a part of the journey that we've been on, isn't it? Part of that unlearning is like, okay, well, this is not just for us, but this is also for people potentially around the world. My mom might even be watching. She lives in Lethbridge. She's here for a different reason than you are. But she's with us. Maybe. I don't know. But there is this unlearning that we sometimes need to go through. Why do I do what I do? And sometimes we can't find a good reason. Now, if we ask ourselves, why do I brush my teeth every morning? There's a good reason. Your breath, right? Your oral health. That's a good reason. That's something you don't need to unlearn. But there are other things that maybe we need to unlearn within our lives so that we can embrace what's new, so that we can learn new things. And as we approach these things of the unlearning journey, we need to ask ourselves, do I have a closed mindset to this change where I just don't want things to change? Or do I have an open mindset that there might be a new thing for me to learn and experience and go through? And it might be hard, it might be difficult, but it might be worth it. So what is the unlearning that we need to go through? What is the unlearning that you have within your life that God is saying, you know, I want you to forget this and leave this behind so that, because I have new things prepared for you as an individual. And it goes the same for our church, which is the body of Christ. What is the new thing that God is calling you as Grace Point to? Are you ready for it? And then there's the taking hold. What is the forgetting that you need to do? But what is God calling you to take hold of in Christ Jesus? What are you taking hold of? And what is he inviting you to take hold of? And as a church, what is he inviting Grace Point Church to take hold of going forward? What does that look like for you? What does that look like for the people that you're sitting next to? What does that look like for the friends who are joining us online? What is the taking hold that we need to understand and remember? So there's a forgetting, the taking hold, but there's also the pressing on, where Paul says, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Now, pressing on and training and working and all these things are hard, aren't they? It's never easy to press on. And it's daunting and it's not glamorous. And sometimes it's even downright painful to press on. But for the sake of Christ, we go through it. And for the sake of Christ, we step into what he's calling us to. So then following Paul's example, verse 15, he says, all of us then who are mature should take such a view of things. And on, if at some point you think differently, that too God will make clear to you. Only let us live up to what we've already attained, achieved, done. So the question again, what is the new thing? What is the new thing that God is calling you to? And as a church, you need a new pastor, but we also live in a new culture. We are existing in a new paradigm of society and of church, and we're entering into that. And it's not going to be quite the same. And sometimes that new thing is calling us into a new life. For some of you, you might have been holding God at a distance, and he's calling you to be closer to him. He's like, I'm here. I have not moved, but you've moved away from me. And God's saying, come to me. Be with me. Help me to give you a new life through my Holy Spirit. Within the Camrose Church, we've been discussing a lot of things. And a verse that's kind of emerged out of the congregation that we keep sharing with each other is Isaiah 43, verses 18 and 19, where it says this, forget the former things. Do not dwell in the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I'm making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. What is that new thing that God has called us as Christians and as the church into the world? What is the goal that he has set for us as individuals and as the faith community of believers? As God takes the brokenness of us and the church, what new beautiful thing does he want to create out of it all? And as he takes these broken vessels, these bowls, this pottery that's broken, and as we've struggled through the turmoil and the challenge and the hardships of life, what is that new beautiful thing that God wants to create in each and every one of us? What is that new and beautiful thing that God wants to create in your church? Let's pray together. God, we thank you for these words of Paul that spur us on and that challenge us to press on. Lord, we've gone through some really challenging times in this past 2 years, and yet you've been with us through it all. You've been doing things in the background. You've been working on our hearts. You've been working on the hearts of our society. And Lord, we're in this time of challenge, sometimes even this time of crisis. And yet, Lord, you're with us through it all. And I pray, God, that you would help us as individuals, help us as a church to be able to say, there's a lot that we need to forget, unlearn, move forward from, so that we can embrace that new thing and be restored, renewed, and become this beautiful vessel that you've created and restored.